The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I would estimate that I usually start with local news 95% of the time. Maybe once out of every 20 show days, I start with something that's not local.
It takes something big or crazy.
Welcome to the 5% today, because there is a story in the news that is so infuriating, but it also, it's not just a national story. This is a local story. This is about your children. This is about what wimps we are creating in our kids. This is about how psycho adults have gotten. This is about the absolute degradation of American society. How's that for a setup?
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
You clearly are feeling better today.
Yeah, I am. I got some cortisone this morning. Ooh, doggies. Oh, does daddy love the cortisone? Okay, so this happened in Pennsylvania. There are a bunch of five-year-olds who play in a football league. And they're having a game a couple days ago, and one of the teams is ahead 30-0. Okay, it's second half of the game. The team that's in the lead has the ball. They give a handoff to this little five-year-old kid. And
well, they're all little pretty
exactly.
much at that age.
And he starts running down the sideline. He's got open grass in front of him. And all of a sudden, you see his coach sprinting down the sideline, telling him to fall down. You got to fall down. Because if you score more than 30 points in this league, the team gets fined $500 and the coach gets suspended for 2 games.
Too much.
It's insanity. We are raising a generation of little wimps. And I'm not just talking about telling a kid to fall down instead of going into the end zone. Although, how wimpy is that? Don't succeed. Don't succeed. Don't succeed. But then also, you got these kids on the other side where we've decided that the humiliation of a child taking a dive in front of them is less than the humiliation of allowing 36 points instead of 30 points. And if anybody thinks I'm exaggerating, this little football league, they were not happy that the CBS affiliate in Philadelphia was covering this story.
On Saturday, the Conshohocken Golden Bears were doing really well, up 30-0 in a game against Roxborough. At that point, Coach Kyle Williams said he advised a ref to throw a flag on the next play.
We throw the flag, it's less than 2 minutes, just in case anything happens. And it didn't go that way.
A five-year-old player on the Golden Bears ended up in the end zone, scoring and violating a league rule against blowout games.
Just think about the structure of that sentence. A five-year-old scored, violating the rules. Really? I thought that when we participated in sports and competed, the idea was to do your best.
This is called mercy rule in some places, right?
But if you have a mercy rule, you know what you do? You just say, oh, you scored 30 points, stop the game, which is what they do in Little League where or T-ball, where they have either a 10-run or a 12-run rule. If after the third or fourth inning, one of the teams they had, you just stop the game. But you don't tell the kids to not try.
There's a 31-point rule that every organization, every team has to abide by. Yeah. We violated that rule.
And with that comes a potential fine of $500 for the team by the Keystone Sports League. In the video of that touchdown, Coach Kyle can be seen sprinting up the sidelines trying to dissuade his player from scoring.
And it's so sad. This coach is literally running alongside the kid, screaming at him to fall down.
Five, 6, 7 years old. It's hard to teach them and come out here as it is. So by them getting the ball and running, it's like, okay, stop. No.
Former Eagle Torrey Smith took to Twitter on the matter and has since gone viral, writing in one tweet, quote, kids need to learn how to deal with failure. Don't want to get smashed? play better.
It's to prevent embarrassment on the other team.
To prevent embarrassment. Okay, again, I ask the question. A kid taking a dive on the opposing team at the two-yard line, is that not embarrassing?
And aren't there other ways to do it so it's not so? I mean, if you're going to try to just really at that young age and you want everyone just to have a good time, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there are other things you can do, like put some all kids who don't normally get a chance to play.
Or maybe we should not allow the children of emotionally weak adults to participate in sports anymore. I mean, that would be the easiest thing. If you as a parent are so emotionally weak and you're passing on your weakness to your child, then maybe you should just be banned from participating in anything competitive. And you can just go and protest climate change with your child for their entire childhood. This isn't good. This isn't healthy. And I kind of had to deal with something similar when I first started coaching my girls, when kindergarten, first grade. In kindergarten, they would wear wristbands. And the blue wristband on one team would have to guard the blue wristband on the other team. And then in second grade, I started teaching my girls that, you know, if your teammates gets beat by the player they're guarding, you have to see that and slide over and stop that kid from getting to the basket. And so I'm teaching that. And all of a sudden, the referees start blowing whistles. It's a zone defense. You can't guard anybody except the player you're assigned to guard. And I said, wait a second. It's not, we're playing man-to-man defense, but we're helping. It's called help man-to-man. And the way that you position yourself in basketball is you keep one hand pointed towards the player you're guarding, and you keep one hand pointed towards the ball. And that way your hips are always on the correct line, and if your teammate gets beat, you can slide over and stop it. It's a fundamental basic, and I'm told, no, that very basic fundamental is not allowed with these second graders. And I'm not going to name the organization, but I asked if we could have a league meeting. And I was the only coach who said that everybody else was, that this rule was insane. And I couldn't, so I you know, pulled my kids out of this organization and started my own AAU program. We just immediately started playing at a more competitive level. But we're teaching kids to do things wrong in order to make the other kids not feel bad. And that's bizarre, and it doesn't help a soul. Not a soul. So please stop damaging our kids. Please, emotionally weak parents, don't put your kids in sports. Just let them run a lemonade stand, do something else. But sports are competitive. Competition breeds excellence. Both winning and losing breed excellence. When I was a kid, I was on more losing teams than winning teams, and didn't hurt. It hurts at the time, but it builds character. Oh, that was in fear. Tell a 5-year-old to take a dive. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I got an email that I thought was rather remarkable. He asked to remain anonymous. He said, I listen to you every day. I'm involved in the homeless industry in our region. And I thought you and your listeners would be interested in knowing that one of the homeless camp cleanup companies contract with the city of Seattle is charging, and then he gives the figure. I'm not going to say how much they're charging. He said, Seattle has contracted with multiple companies who all price their bids separately, so the city has options to pick whichever company they want to clean up these camps. And then he names the company. I'm not going to name the company because I don't blame them. They are getting the city of Seattle to pay them this amount of money. But how much do you think that we are paying each individual worker to clean up a homeless encampment in Seattle? Because the guy told me a figure in his email, and I said, I cannot believe that. Can you send me, do you have contracts or documents? And indeed, he did send me the contract. this private company that the city of Seattle has contracted with. Let's go to Level C, Hazardous Waste Worker. They are charging the taxpayers of Seattle $435 per technician per labor hour. And their overtime hourly rate is $652.50 per technician per labor hour. I'm not talking about the company with a crew of eight gets $435 an hour. I'm talking about every single cleanup worker. The company charges the taxpayers $435 an hour. My tipster says there were other bidders that would have done the same job for $80 per man hour. Ooh, he said man hour. I'm triggered. But he tells me, my tipster, that there were companies that bid and they would have done the same thing for $80 per man hour. But the winning bidder is getting $435 per man hour. So not only does the city, and I know we got this prevailing wage, which is just a way for public unions to rip off the taxpayers with the aid of our local governments. First, they allow these homeless encampments. They are getting sued by a Seattle cop who says that he has some severe health ramifications from when he was cleaning up one of these encampments. So first they allow the encampments in the first place, and then the taxpayers get billed $435 per man hour to clean it up. Now, let me ask you, and as I said, do I blame the company that's getting that? No. They found a very easy mark in the city of Seattle. And we have contacted the city, and what'd they do, Nicole? Just pass your email along to somebody else, and that person hasn't gotten back to us yet, correct?
Right.
Okay.
We have made some PDR requests, though.
Okay. Yeah, we're also doing that. We're going to get the documents that are publicly or should be publicly available. But how do you feel about that as a taxpayer? You know, you work hard. You put in a good, honest day's work. Maybe you're a middle-class person, and you're making $30 or $40 an hour. How do you feel that a company makes $435 per person per hour to clean up heroin needles and the trash that comes from the cities aiding and abetting these homeless encampments? Is there any graft involved? I don't know. It just seems impossible. If there were competitive bids for much less, why would the $435 an hour company be the winning bidder? It's amazing. It's your tax dollars at work. And we will follow up on this. I assure you of that. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, speaking of our illustrious local officials, we now have blood on the hands, once again, of Jay Inslee, Dow Constantine, Jenny Durkin, Bob Ferguson. We told you last week, we broke the story, in fact, that in two separate murders, one was the murder of a 16-year-old who was found floating in the Green River, and the other was an 18-year-old murdered in a Bellevue park. And in both of those two cases, there was a person arrested who was in this country illegally. Because, of course, Washington is sanctuary. Well, we can now confirm from an ICE official that another suspect in the murder of the 16-year-old child, who was plucked out of the Green River. Rudy Osvaldo Garcia Hernandez, he is a citizen of El Salvador and is in the United States illegally. They don't know when he came into this country, but I can tell you that he has priors. In 2015, he was brandishing a machete in California, which is also sanctuary. And so they just released him, even though he was an illegal. Later in 2015, this illegal was arrested for larceny, forgery. He was released again. Now, if this was a region where we had any common sense whatsoever, if somebody's in this country illegally and then subsequently commits very serious crimes, brandishing a machete, larceny, forgery, September 2015, this illegal, failure to appear for gang participation crimes, violent tendencies, armed and dangerous, known to abuse drugs and carry weapons, would also brandish a machete, even though he had been arrested for that earlier in the year. And then on October 9th, here in Seattle, Rudy Osvaldo Garcia Hernandez was arrested for the murder of a 16-year-old child whose body was found in the Green River. So once again, just as surely as this guy allegedly killed that child, so did Jay Inslee and Dow Constantine, because these are preventable crimes. If you would simply work with federal law enforcement when you have an illegal who commits a serious crime, they could begin deportation proceedings. But instead, we would rather sacrifice the life of a 16-year-old than to crack down on illegals. Again, Jay, Dow, Mitzi, do you look in the mirror? Do you think about the consequences? Have you seen the photos of that 16-year-old who was murdered and realized that could have been prevented if not for sanctuary? Does that bother you at all? And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you. Hey, how come me happens to be the most environmental sensitive person in public life around here? I'm sick about all the trees that are getting cut down. I'm just sick about it. So I'm going to talk to the city of Shoreline because I hate what's happening up there. But it's all for sound transit and big money. Details right after this news next. Start to dissipate. It was several weeks ago when Sound Transit started cutting down thousands and thousands of mature trees alongside my commute home along I-5. And I thought maybe I'd start getting used to it. I'm still not. Every single day, I just get incredibly sad at knowing that this huge cement track, this boondoggle that is Sound Transit, is replacing beautiful mature trees. We're the evergreen state, and we're seeing the evergreens disappear all in the name of transit and huge money interests. In the city of Shoreline, there were some people protesting because some big trees have come down there. A woman named Annie Thau, she is with the Tree Keepers, and she was pretty passionate about this, too.
People will not really want to live here anymore. That's the basic thing. Trees make neighborhoods beautiful. They help with the environment. They are homes to many other animals and birds, and we need to keep preserving them.
And she spoke specifically about a large grove of 40 trees that, as she put it, were clear-cut in Shoreline. Eric Broughton is the Shoreline Communications Program Manager. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Eric, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Sure. Glad to talk to you.
Okay. So you heard my comments at the beginning. All three of my daughters went to school in your city. My wife works in your city. I coached for 10 years in your city. I'm very fond of Shoreline, and it makes me sick to see what's happening to trees, these mature trees there and everywhere else along I-5. What's the policy there?
So, you know, first of all, I understand it's kind of a shell shock that we've seen all the trees come down along I-5. I know I'm shell shocked. I drive that every day as myself. And it's a little, surprising and shocking to see all those trees go. But I think what we're trying to do here in Shoreline is make sure that we're managing our urban forest and managing our growth at the same time. So that's why we're trying to concentrate all of our growth around the light rail station areas as opposed to spreading that growth out across the entire city. So that's why we upzoned areas around the light rail area so we can concentrate that growth. Because if we don't concentrate it, what you kind of have is this peanut butter effect of growth throughout the city, and you actually might end up losing more trees across our city if we do it that way as opposed to kind of concentrate growth in one area. And so while there's definitely going to be huge impacts in that neighborhood, overall our tree canopy will be actually healthier and we'll have more tree canopy.
Well, so how did it become that everything is about sound transit? Because I know that there are developers who were tipped off right at the beginning what the siting of the line was going to be. There are developers who are making tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. Of course, the politicians are controlling tens of billions of dollars. When did cities decide that everything has to be about sound transit?
I guess you could say that a vote was held, and a vote to approve sound transit happened, and so it's happening, and so we're trying to, you know, address that. It's coming to Shoreline. We know growth will occur around light rail, so why not plan for it? And that's what we're trying to do, is plan for that growth. And so that's why we're concentrating the growth around the light rail transit areas. You know, if light rail wasn't coming to Shoreline, we wouldn't have done that.
Right, but, you could have, you say it would have spread throughout the city otherwise. You guys can manage that with codes and, you know, what you approve.
We have a very extensive tree code. We have tree retention requirements across the entire city and tree replacement requirements. The spot where they were processing the other day, there'll be 34 trees replanted there. There are significant, significant new tree starts. There'll also be 54 trees planted on that site. They're a smaller variety. And then 29 trees will be planted off-site, kind of in the street planting area between the sidewalk and the street. So trees will be replanted there. Sure, they're not going to be the significant trees you see today, but eventually they will be that size.
But here's what it sounds like to me, Eric, that it's all about one thing and one thing only, and that's money. That, you know, as I said, these developers who were tipped off, who, you know, are in the sound transits in their pockets, they're getting fabulously wealthy. The city's going to get lots of tax dollars from this development, and I always have heard how important climate change is, how important trees are to climate change, but it sounds to me that money is more important to everybody involved than the benefits of the trees.
So again, you know, climate change, the whole idea of transit is to get cars off the streets. And so the idea...
That is not the idea of transit.
Right. We can have a disagreement on that. But if you concentrate your growth around your transit, that way and more people take transit. Otherwise, if we didn't do that, we know the area is growing, correct?
Yes, the area is growing.
The region is growing. Okay, so that growth can either occur in single-family homes, you know, all over the place, which you're going to lose a lot more trees that way, or you can concentrate that growth in certain areas around transit, right? So the growth is here. So we can do single-family homes across the entire region. Now, just try and imagine how many trees you'd lose if you had single-family housing across the entire region, or if you kind of concentrate that growth in kind of one area. You're going to lose a lot of trees in that one area, but you're not going to lose as many as you did if you had single-family homes across the entire region.
Okay. I just want to back up what I said. I mean, even by Sound Transit's own environmental impact statement, they do not claim that they are going to take cars off the road. So that's by their own admission. That's why I say that is not the goal of Sound Transit. They say it's to provide an alternative for the growth. I'll grant you that. So, but again, I mean, you could make decisions. I know that you're captive to the King County Growth Management Act, but all that is a bunch of cities that make it up. I live in one of the suburban cities in King County, And if people said, no, you know what, we want to slow down this growth, and maybe we do want to spread it out to more what are now rural areas, we could do that. But the money, I get the tax dollars are a strong allure, and it seems to me that that and the money that Sound Transit collects and the money the developers make, that that trumps all.
Well, I guess I'd have to disagree on that. I think it really is kind of managing growth. And I think most people would rather see growth concentrated in areas as opposed to just keep spreading further and further out into outlying areas.
Got it. Okay. Like I said, I wanted to get the city's perspective on this since we had the tree people on yesterday. I appreciate you taking time coming on with me, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay. Eric Broughton, he's the Shoreline Communications Program Manager. As always, I would love to hear what you think about all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, how come the guy who's considered the more... I don't even know what I am. Libertarian, conservative, moderate, liberal when it comes to freedom of speech and respecting people I disagree with in my personal life. I don't know. That's why I can't label myself. I choose not to. I let everybody else do that stuff. But how come I'm the one that is defending the trees? And I said something right at the end of the show yesterday. I said seems like the only people who have any clue what's going on around here are you, because you listen to the show, and me. That this is about one thing and one thing only. And it is the complete sellout of our region for our new masters. And that's Sound Transit, the politicians who I'm absolutely convinced get kickbacks from Sound Transit. Not just Sound Transit. I think our politicians get kickbacks for taking down the viaduct and turning all of that downtown real estate, you know, increasing its value 5X. And what Sound Transit's doing. And they talk all the time about, oh, we love the planet and climate change. Miami's going to be underwater. Hey, let's cut down 5,000 trees. And you know, they put all of the mayors of these suburban cities on the Sound Transit board so that they can slowly sell out. Or even those of us who have moved out of the madness of Seattle, but they make sure they get the mayors of all these suburban cities on the Sound Transit board so they can sell out their cities to Sound Transit. They are our masters, and it is about hundreds of $100 billion, when you include the debt service and the money already spent and the money to be spent. $100 billion. You don't think there's some graft and corruption attached to that? It's like, you know, I'm looking up my TV right now. These No on 976 ads are running incessantly. The Skagit River Bridge is an example of our crumbling infrastructure. Now, it's an example that an oversized truck hit a support girder. Had nothing to do with transportation funding. They have to change the one with the state patrol trooper because it violated the rules of identifying her as a state patrol trooper. And why? Because there are billions of dollars at stake. They will sell out everything. And I love trees. You know, in my house, the reason we love where we live is because I wanted a big grassy backyard where our kids and someday grandkids can play. And we have trees on all our neighboring properties that give us privacy. So I could be naked on my deck if I wasn't so repulsed by the idea of me being naked. But I could be. And this last summer, you know, I've been feeding birds for years, and I finally have attracted a large number of bluebirds. Oh, they're gorgeous. Gorgeous with that crown and the brilliant, the iridescence of the color in their feathers. And I found the right, suet and seeds that not only feed all the songbirds around my house, and I love watching the squirrels play in the trees. And I loved when I was driving home that we had mature, tall trees alongside I-5. I didn't realize how desperately I would miss them. But we'll just whack everything down. Why? Because developers who were tipped off more than a decade ago on the Sound Transit line, who no doubt richly rewarded the political insiders who tipped them off, they were able to start acquiring property knowing that it would be near a Sound Transit hub. And then the cities that tell us all the time that they care about the climate and a canopy and how trees are important to fighting climate change. And then suddenly they say, oh, no, I'll cut down 40 trees. My next door neighbor, his backyard used to be an apple orchard. And we've been talking, they would like their backyard to be a little, ours doesn't have any trees in the big grassy area. All our trees are on the perimeter. And they had a couple of old apple trees. And the city said, oh, no, you can't take those down. And they'd been, you know, trying for a long time. No, we don't let you cut down trees. Then we had the snow in February, and these trees fell over under the weight of the snow. So they finally got to remove them because of nature. But would government let them remove these trees that were in such bad shape that a snowfall brought them down? No, government wouldn't allow that. But a developer comes along who's been tipped off on the Sound Transit line. Hey, I'll get you millions in property tax dollars if you let me cut down those trees. Oh, cut down those trees. Screw the planet. I swear, you and I are the only people who really recognize what's going on around here. Fast 15 next.